Morning. This is going to be kind of a different kind of lesson. There's actually two parts to it. But the name of this lesson today is going to be, it's time to bring back the King. And it is time to bring back the King. It's time. This world is such a mess. I mean, your world might not be too bad, but when you look at the overall conditions of this world and the depravity of man, it's time for the King to come back. In the Song of Solomon in chapter 2, that's not our passage, but it says in verse 10, it says, "My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my beloved, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of the birds is come, the voice of the turtle is heard in our land, the fig tree putteth forth her fig tree, or green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'll bless this message today, Lord. I pray that it'll touch the hearts of those and open the eyes of the blind. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will work through this message and bring people to Christ before it's eternally too late. The winter is almost over, Lord, and summer's nigh. And we want to go home. We want to see your face and bow and worship you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that your name will be lifted up and glorified in this message and in the preaching to come. I pray that the ears of those that will hear will be opened and their eyes will see. Lord, we're so close to your coming, Lord. Help us to be ready. Help us to be watching and waiting and looking for your coming. For ask in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We covered last week, and I didn't know until Friday that I was going to be teaching, but we covered last week about Absalom taking over the kingdom of David. In 2 Samuel chapter 16, if you want to turn there, David's being run out of his kingdom, and he's going out with his mighty men. They're being run out, and they run into a house of a guy named Simei, excuse me. Dyslexia is terrible. And verse 6, it says, "And he cast stones at David and all of his servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Simei, when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belai. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom unto the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man." Right after that, Abishai wanted to go and kill this man because of what he said to David. But David, in his wisdom, halfway through verse 11, says, "Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look upon mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for the cursing this day." David had made a mess out of his life. After Bathsheba, the death of his the illegitimate son, and the murder of the Hittite, David's family was a mess. Every time people let sin into their life, their family is a mess. It's only by the grace of God any of us get through life. Like my dad used to say, Dave, he says, you think your family's dysfunctional? I'll tell you the truth. Everyone's family is dysfunctional to a point. And it's true. We're all dysfunctional. We're all sinners. And the only difference between us and the world is we're saved by grace, that we have a Lord Jesus Christ living in us. But it doesn't make our families perfect. We all have problems. But David's children, the first mistake David made was he took on multiple wives. Whenever a man takes on multiple wives, he has problems. I've been married for 42 years. One's enough for me. That's all I can do to keep up with her. We got 3 children. I got 6 grandchildren. And I know my grandchildren, as wonderful as they are not perfect. And they're going to have problems. We're all going to have problems. But David flees Absalom. In Psalms chapter 3, David describes his fleeing of Absalom. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. That means meditate. But there's even a deeper word to Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down to sleep and slept. I awaked, for my Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Now, every one of us can probably identify with this. At one time or another, we've had enemies. We've been broken down. We've had problems in our family, and we just cry out to God for mercy and for his grace and for help. We all need his help. There's not a minute go through the day that I don't say, Lord, just help me. Just get me through this. In 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 33, after David takes the kingdom back, and Absalom is killed, David, after battling with his son, didn't want to see his death. And even though our family gives us so much trouble and so many problems, we don't want to see their hurt. We want to see God help them and help us. And David's the same way. And the king was much moved. And he went up to his chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus saith, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would I have died for thee? And that's what Jesus Christ did for us. He died for us so that we might live. When you look at David's life and you start comparing him with things around you, it kind of stands out to me, and maybe it's like I was telling a brother, I said, maybe only dyslexic people see this. Maybe you got to be mentally ill, but I see David and I see the church. David was led by God. The church was led by God's word at one time. David was anointed by oil. The church was anointed by the Holy Spirit. David loved to sing unto the Lord the Psalms. The church sang the great hymns of the faith. David killed the giant that cursed God. The church defeated governments by being faithful to God's word. And that's where we've lost. We're no longer faithful to God's word. We make lip service, but our lives don't reflect it. David was persecuted by King Saul. The church was and is persecuted by the world system. And there is so much persecution, so many people being killed this very hour for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we sit in our padded pews. And I saw a video. This missionary smuggled it out. It was in a communist country. And had all these people. They came from everywhere. It was raining. They didn't care. But they came and they all got into this little tiny shack of a building, nasty looking place. And they were hungry. They wanted the man of God to preach to them. He said, "Well, how long do you want me to preach?" "From 7 o'clock to 7 o'clock. From sunrise to sunset." They just wanted to hear the word of God. He said, "Where do I start?" He says, "Start at Genesis and work your way through." And there was another video where some people in a communist country, they smuggled in Bibles. And I got a nephew that does that. We barely pick up our Bible every week. We barely read His Word. But these people were grabbing these Bibles and they were kissing them. For the first time in their life, they had God's Word. We're right at the edge of Jesus Christ returning, and people are just now getting the Word of God. People are dying for their faith, and we're not willing to lift up a hand or pray for them. God help us. David, when he was king of the nations, they prospered and they grew. The church, when it was faithful to God's word, grew and spread all over the world. We had missionaries everywhere. No doors closed, they were all open. Then David got lazy. David no longer read his Bible. David no longer went to battle. He sat in the palace, in the luxury of his castle. The church, as far back as 1947, got lazy. Stopped witnessing. Stopped winning souls. Preachers started tickling ears. You know, you've heard that. Tickling ear preachers. The songs of the faith started leaving out the word Jesus because it offended people. And this goes back to the 1900s, or beginning of the 20th century. Look at some of your hymns. Sometimes you don't find Jesus in there. A lot of times you don't find blood. You have to go way back to find blood in the scriptures because blood offends people. There's only one name written, and that name is Jesus. He's the one who saves you. You don't go by any other name than His. Today we have Judaizers are trying to bring the church back under Judaism and trying to say that, well, we need to be, you need to practice the law. Or they, and that goes all the way back to Acts chapter 15. They settled that then, but now it's regurgitated. Don't ever let someone who's Jewish convince you that he's more righteous than you are, or that he knows more than you do. They don't. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, but we're all saved by one Lord. When you get saved, you're the bride of Christ. There's nothing to be ashamed of. In fact, that's the greatest position that any man can have, to be the bride of Christ. You know what Jesus Christ says about the bride? He says, co-heirs with Christ. My goodness. And we sit on our tufts and we don't do nothing. David allowed his eyes to wander. He got up on the roof when he shouldn't have been on the roof. He was looking down when he should have been looking up. Amen. If he wasn't going to battle, he should have been praying. The church joined itself with the world. And that's why we come to this church, is because this is the only place in town where it hadn't joined itself to the world. All the way. David murdered a faithful soldier. You say, well, I'm not a murderer. I've never done anything like that. The church lets people go to hell every day by not preaching the truth, the Word of God. David's sons dies. The church members, sons, and daughters die every day without hearing the truth. And a lot of you people that have been in other churches and never heard the truth. And I've talked to people, you know, over the years, and a lot of them didn't even know what the rapture meant. And what's this new birth you're talking about? I go to a Baptist church, I've never heard it. And I'm shocked, I'm stunned that this stuff still goes on. David lost his kingdom. The church lost its power in the world. If you watch the news media and you watch videos about when people are out there preaching on the streets and how many curses and hatred, and they get absolutely horrendously mad because you're a Christian and you're trying to tell them how to be saved. You're trying to save their life and they hate you for it. The spirit of Antichrist is already here. We don't have to worry about him coming. He's already here. He's in the hearts of the lost people. And they hate you with a pure hatred. But our job is a warrior. We're to battle against the devil. And we're supposed to preach the gospel in season and out of season. David regained his kingdom. The church is taken out of this world because it's useless to God, because the church has lost its power and is taken to God's kingdom. In 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 10, Absalom, whom we anointed over us, is led in battle. This is where I got my message. Now, therefore, why speak ye not a word of bringing the king back? We're supposed to be speaking words to bring the king back. Every time you witness, every time you read your Bible, every time you pray, you're bringing that king back. And Lord, we know this world needs the king. The king that they're going to get is horrible. I got some pictures back here on my, if you want to see them. And it'll kind of shock you. But anyway, if you want to see them, you can come up after the message and see. We go to Isaiah chapter 57. A guy called me this week and he was searching for this verse and he finally found it and called me back later and said, this is the one I'm talking about. And I said, wow, that's pretty amazing. So I wrote a lesson on it. Isaiah chapter 57 verse 1. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. We had a brother die this week, Tom Elliott, a righteous man, a good man. We'll miss him, but I know God wanted him home, and I can't think of a better place to be than there. And the merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. Kind of speaks of the rapture, doesn't it? I don't have any righteousness. I'm not a righteous man, but I have the one living in me that's righteous, the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall enter into peace, and they shall rest in their bed, each one walking in his righteousness. Can't you wait for that day when you're walking in your righteousness, praising and giving thanks to God in your righteousness? I don't know how to deal with that. But the Bible says that one day we'll be clothed in our righteousness. Hosea chapter 14 verse 4 says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 14. And this is something that everyone should just pray and ask God every day. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from our wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. And America needs healed. If not for your sake, for your children's sake. Because what's coming, you don't want your children to go through it. In Luke chapter 18, verse 7, it says, And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he hear long with them, or bear long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And I say that when he comes, he'll find very little faith. Every time you listen to a preacher, these new preachers, you find problems in their doctrine. They don't believe in the virgin birth. They don't believe in a lot of things that the Bible teaches and preaches. They've gone their own ways. They have their own little gospels. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. That's when we're in heaven. When the rapture takes place, there'll be so few names of people that are missing that the world won't even take notice of it. And everybody says, oh, you know, this is going to be, you know, big. Hollywood's blown it up and said, oh, you know, all these people going up and left and right, you know. It's going to be a trickle. So many people don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior because you see no fruit in their lives. You don't see any. They want to talk about everything but Jesus Christ. And we need Jesus Christ. You don't need me. You don't need the pastor. You need Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father except by Him. Verse 3 says, but draw near hither, ye sons of sorcerers, the seed of adulterers and the whore. I like the Bible. It doesn't mix words. It doesn't say call girl. So many of us claim the name of Jesus. We come into church. We put on our best dress and stuff. But when we go out of here, they live like hell. God help them. To sit in this church and hear the gospel week after week. And we have, let me tell you, this preacher in this church is phenomenal. He preaches the word of God. And souls outside of this church are being saved. We had 3 people and that's just amazing. But there should be more. And we should be bringing those people out there into here. If you have any friends at all, you should be bringing them to church to hear the gospel. Verse 4 says, against whom do ye sport yourselves? And that word sport is like sexual relations. Against whom make ye a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are ye not children of transgressions, a seed of falsehood? Jesus Christ puts it this way, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Amen. If you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart, you don't want to talk about Jesus. You want to talk about something else. There's so much black magic going on in this country that's just mind-boggling. There are so many child sacrifices going on in this country. It's mind-boggling and no one seems to care. It's time to bring the king back. It's time to take these children home. It's time for the church of God to be taken out of here. Matthew chapter 23:33 says, O ye vipers, it says, ye spirit, serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? There are over 800,000 children around the world that disappear every year, not including all the babies that are being aborted and killed. And it gets to that. Next verse. Verse 5. Inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valley under the clefts of the rock. Abortion is nothing new. The only thing new about it is they kill them in the womb instead of when they come outside the womb. Amen. People are evil. People are killing their children left and right. Amen. The most dangerous place in America is in the womb of a mother. Amen. And that's ashamed. It should be the most. And if you're born again and you've had an abortion, you are forgiven. God forgives you. That baby is in heaven waiting for you. But it's got to stop. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 2, God warns Israel. He says, ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nation which ye shall possess serve their gods upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. That's worship of Baal, worship of Satan, Satan worshipers. Just put it the way it is. Satan worshipers. Killing their babies in secret. Isn't it amazing that we're living in a generation of people who love trees more than they love their children? You catch it on the internet every once in a while. You see a woman marrying her tree and she's so in love with her tree. People are crazy. They've lost their minds. I seen a group of women marrying the sea. How do you do that? That's how ludicrous people are. People are marrying their electronic devices. They're marrying dolls. They're marrying everything. It's how screwed up this country is. The world is a vile place. Among the smooth stones of the streams is thy portion. This is the worship of the goddess. The Pope made the statement the other day that you're not to worship Jesus anymore. You worship Mary because that's where it's all at. That's how you're going to get your answers, your prayers answered. Worship Mary. Worship Mary. We've been telling the Catholics for thousands of years, or for hundreds of years, that they're worshiping Mary, and they said, oh no, we're worshiping Jesus. Well, now the Pope made it official, you're worshiping Mary. Lies. Lies upon top of lies. They are thy lot. Even to them hast thou poured a drink offering. Thou hast offered a meat offering. Should I receive comfort in these? God says, you knew, you're aware of me, but you're tossing me aside for these worship of these idols. In Romans chapter 1:25, it says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. In this day and age, everybody wants to have their own religion, their own little way, their own little secrets, and they want to think that they're far more superior in spirituality than you are because they know the secret. God never said anything in secret. It's all public. It's all for anyone to read and study. But this world is full of secret societies, secret this, secret that. No one knows what's actually going on except for those that have the secret. There's a, I don't want to go on this, but there's a film coming out. I've seen the previews of it. And this thing comes down from space. And it lands on this earth. And all you do is see the silhouette of this thing until you get to the end of it. And he's always holding two kids' hands. And he's got wings. And it looks like he's got horns, but you can't really tell. It's an alien. And at the end of the movie, he comes up and he's got this meek and mild face, you know. But he looks like Lucifer. He's red. He's got spikes coming out of his fingers. He's got wings that are webbed like a dragon. But he looks so meek and he's holding two kids' hands. And he's good. And the public loves him. And you say, well, that can't happen here. They're putting those statues of Baphomet all over the country, in your courthouses, in your parks. It's a sign of Satan worship. It's rampant. It's fastest growing religion in America. And they hate you. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's why they hate you. verse 7, upon the lofty and high mountains hast thou set thy bed, either hither wentest thou up to offer sacrifices. Here we get into another one. These high places are always associated with sodomites. And our land is full of sodomites. Amen. Whenever God is kicked out, just like if you go back and study Israel, every time God was kicked out of Israel, the sodomites came in. When God was brought back in, the sodomites went out. And now we're being overwhelmed in this country because of our disobedience to God. Behind the door also and the post hast thou set up thy remembrance. For thou hast discovered thyself to another than me, and art gone up, and thou hast enlarged thy bed, and made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed where thou sawest it. Now, this is basically God saying, you're bringing in other gods. I'm the one true God. Why are you bringing these other gods in and contaminating? And it's nothing but abomination. In 1952, we had immigration laws. And I read them one time because I heard that there was a lot of laws restricting immigration into this country. And in these laws, it said no one that had a religion contrary to our way of thinking and our way of life was allowed to immigrate to this country. That meant Muslims weren't allowed to come over. And PLO was specifically spelled out in that. Hindus and Buddhists were not allowed to come over here. You had to adopt our religion, our way of life. It's a Christian Judeo society. We believed in one God. We had differences of opinion, but we believed in one God. We believed the God of the Old Testament and New Testament. Then the Beatles came around. And the Beatles brought all their Hindu beliefs over, and they invited a Buddhist over. Next thing you know, we're being contaminated. And now you got Buddhists everywhere. Ronald Reagan says, bring down that wall. And we go, yay! Now our country's full of communists and socialists. And our way of life is in jeopardy. Wisdom is lacking in this country. Amen. Now look at us. You got mosque. You got temples to Buddha and all these other gods are stringing up everywhere. And our country is turning into third world countries. Amen. It's turning into hell. You know what our president called them? And when thou wentest to the king with ointment and didst increase thy perfume, and didst send thy messengers far off, and didst debase thyself even unto hell. That means you become sensual. You try to seduce people. You try to bring them under your control by your perfume and all that other stuff. Ladies, watch how you dress. Amen. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 3 says, whosoever loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet saidest thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine hand, therefore hast thou hast not grieved. These people have no fear. They don't care. They don't care where they're going. They think they're okay. Verse 11 says, "Of whom hast thou been afraid or feared, that thou hast lied and hast not remembered me, nor laid it to thy heart? Have not I held my peace even of old, and thou fearest me not?" They have no fear of God. They're oblivious to God, the one who brought them out of Egypt. And a lot of Christians get to the point where they're oblivious to the one who saved them.
Amen.
And they have no fear of God. They just go out in the world and do what they want to do. God help you. Psalms 111:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever." Let me tell you something. Fear is the beginning of wisdom. Then you learn to love Him for who He is and what He did for you. But everyone should have a fear. Always. You know, when I was growing up, my dad wasn't 5'9", and we looked down on him. But we had a fear of him. I knew I couldn't hit him, but I knew he could hit me. And he did a couple times. When I got in his face, he put me down. My children have a fear of me when they were growing up. They called me Commando Dad, because that's all I did. I was gone every once in a while, you know. I'd come back. God is saying, "I will reveal myself. I have revealed myself in the past, but you have put me away out of your mind." How do you do that? How do you put the one out of your mind who saved you by His grace, that looked down on you and had mercy on your soul, that loved you enough to come down and die on a cross for your sins, and then verse 12, "I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee." All your self-righteousness, all the stuff that you think that you're going to be in good favor with God, God says, "I'm not going to look at it. It's putrefying for me." Isaiah chapter 46, or 64, verse 4, I said Lexi again. "But we are all as unclean things, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags."
Amen.
That's our righteousness. Romans chapter 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Verse 13 says, "When thou criest, let thy company deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them, but he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain." That's the good news. Put your trust in God. Take your face out of the TV set, out of your cell phone, out of all these electronic devices, and put yourself in the Word of God. And start reading it and learning to love it. You'll find out that this book is not, you're not reading it, it's reading you. And it's identifying all those things in your life that needs to be taken care of. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as wool." This word snow, God used that for a specific reason. When you get saved, When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He washes you white as snow. What happens to snow? It melts. It's gone. It's remembered no more. Those sins are gone. But he also uses the word wool. And if anybody ever wears wool, you know, wool gets dirty. And every once in a while, you got to clean it. And that's what we're to do every day, is to clean ourselves by the washing of the water of the Word of God and confessing our sins before God and letting Him wash them away so that our wool will be white again. Let's pray. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that this message did its work. Lord, it grieves me to think people are going to go to hell. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today, Lord, that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that today will be their day to come to Christ before it's eternally too late. Lord, we love You. We praise Your holy and righteous name. Let the preaching that goes forth bring the conviction of the Holy Spirit on those who are lost and those who are not living their lives right. And Lord, let it begin with me. Lord, I pray for the music and the special music today that will be glorifying to Your holy and righteous name. And we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.